Merry Christmas. Well, isn't that amazing? Jesus was born in a manger because the Bible says there was no room for him and them at the inn. But there are probably many travelers on that particular day in town for the census that were looking for a place to stay besides Mary and Joseph. And with the hotel, with the inn being full, people probably tried to stay the night wherever they could, maybe even in other people's homes.
What's going on out there?
Oh, that's Andrew, my husband. He's just a tiny bit grumpy. Let's see how many there are of you. Wow, there's a lot. I might be able to lodge most of you.
What's going on out here? Dinah, we have work to do. Your family's gonna be here any moment, eating all our food, wrecking our house.
So those folks, as well as the innkeeper, probably in that day had a fantastic opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime chance to have the very first Christmas, to have the Son of God born under their roof. And that would be a cause for celebration. But they missed out on the greatest day in history. They missed out on the reason for the season. And sometimes people are the same way. Sometimes we get so preoccupied with getting the best bargains at the stores, with the gift wrapping, with the fixing of food, with the baking of cookies, traveling, and all that is well and good, but sometimes we miss the most important thing about Christmas, and that is Jesus. Remember, Jesus was not just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a moral teacher. Jesus was the Son of God, and he was God manifested as well in a human body. He was the incarnation of God. So when Jesus was born as that little baby in Bethlehem, it was God coming from heaven to earth. One of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, worded it this way. It's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The people would call him Emmanuel, but Mary and Joseph were later instructed to name him Jesus. And that's why Jesus himself as an adult said these words recorded for us in John chapter 14. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He said, "I and the Father are one." You see, Jesus was the manifestation of God in a human body. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up into glory." Remember, God was manifest in the flesh, and that was Jesus. In John chapter 1, the Apostle John, Jesus' beloved disciple, said these words, using the word, which designates that person of Jesus. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, he said, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. You see, Jesus being God was equal with God. But in Philippians chapter 2, it says that he was manifest or made in the likeness of men. Jesus, being God, could have entered into this world in a grand and glorious fashion. He could have been born in a royal family. He could have been holding a golden scepter in his hand. He could have been had a silver spoon in his mouth. But instead, Jesus chose to come into this world by a poor yet pure young lady, a virgin, and it happened in a lonely manger. Sorry. There are two incredible truths that we can learn from this passage in Scripture. The first one, of course, being that Jesus was, in fact, God, born in a human body. And the second is the fact that he was uniquely born of a virgin. And this was stated first for us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. The Bible predicted this as these words were given by God to Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That prediction was fulfilled. And before Jesus was due, once again, the people would call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. But Joseph, as the angel appeared unto him, instructed him, you will name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was born of a virgin, but his life did not come about from the seed of Joseph, but rather it was by God's Holy Spirit. Is it important that Jesus was born of a virgin? Absolutely. You better believe it. Because if Joseph was the natural father of Jesus, procreated by human seed, then Jesus would also be a sinner, and Jesus' death on the cross would be meaningless. But Jesus was born of a virgin. And because of that, Jesus did not inherit the same sin nature that you and I have. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, for one by one man, Adam, sin entered into this world, and death by sin. And now death is passed on to all men, for all have sinned. But God, through his wisdom, had an ingenious plan. He had a plan to bypass the seed of the man. And he bypassed the seed of Joseph through the miraculous conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. And that would mean this. That would mean Jesus could be born into our world and take on our humanity, but not be contaminated by sin. Was that important? Absolutely. Because Jesus could be called the son of King David because of his ancestry line, but he also could be called the Son of God because he was, again, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was the perfect God-man. You see, the name Jesus means this. It means the Lord is salvation. Salvation is something that we all need because of our sin. And the death of Jesus on the cross, I loved it when the kids were up here and they mentioned that Jesus died on the cross, and one of the kids said, that cross? It kind of resembles the cross, huh? But Jesus, the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins is the very core of why he came. If Jesus had not been virgin born, there would be no meaning to the cross. You see, if Jesus was not born of a virgin, it would have been said that he inherited the same sin that you and I had, and he would have died on the cross as a result of his own sin. But he didn't. He escaped the sin nature of mankind, and on that cross, he became our sin bearer. The Bible says he bore our sins while he was on that tree. And the best part about it is this. Jesus loved us enough that he did not have to be coerced into leaving the glory and the beauty of heaven to come down to this earth and be born in a lowly manger. Jesus willingly forsook the worship of all the saints, all the angels in heaven, to come to become a human being and willingly pay the penalty of sin on the cross. While Jesus was on that cross and they were physically nailing him to that cross, it had spiritual magnitude. All the charges for all the sins, our sins, were being nailed figuratively to that cross. The Bible says that because of Jesus' death, you and I now have an opportunity to be reconciled to God, forgiven of our sins today, and have a home forever in heaven with him. And it's all because of Jesus. And it all started in that little town of Bethlehem. It was all part of God's plan. In Luke chapter 2, after 4,000 years of prophecies and promises and preparation, the angels finally announced the birth of the Savior. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, it says, in that same area, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very afraid. And as recorded in Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, the angel said unto them,
fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It shall be a son unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Angel just came to us.
Yes.
And told us
the sign
he bore in Bethlehem.
Yes, let's go see what that's happening.
Yes, come on, come on, come on.
Look how excited they are. Just imagine if they knew what would happen when this little baby grew up. Then they'd be really excited, huh? But again, here in Luke chapter 2, we have this wonderful story that depicts what happened when that babe was born in Bethlehem. And that babe in Bethlehem grew up and died for the sins of the world. And today, every life that is lived has an opportunity to be zealously affected by that one man, by Jesus. Jesus has the power and the capability to change anyone's life because he is the light of the world and he has brought to many great joy. With your heads bowed and with your eyes closed here this morning, my question for you is this: have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you believed totally upon him to save you from your sins? And has he made you at peace with him? Are you at peace with God? If you have, I encourage you to be like those shepherds and spread the good news of Jesus this holiday season, this Christmas, and throughout the year. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to trust him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Jesus is the best Christmas gift you could ever receive. If you're here today and you've never believed on Jesus as your Savior, and you would like to do so, I'm going to pray a prayer. And more important than the words that you and I say is the belief in your heart. But if you'd like to pray to receive Jesus here this morning, pray these words. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I accept him now as my Lord and as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.